Toyota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe Espada, manager of George Houston Astros, was on the Crush City Territory podcast with our guy Chandler Rome, Tyler Stafford, occasionally Josh Reddick last week, and a lot of interesting things to say over his visit with those guys. And I thought a really interesting one was this one from Espada, talking about specifically who could theoretically fit into the leadership role for the Astros with Ryan Presley gone and Alex Bregman's future uncertain. Here is the manager of the Astros.
He's finding his rhythm. I think it's off season. He's starting to make adjustments where he understands. You know, we have conversation with him about this is what 2024 looked like. This is what 2025 should look like if you make, you know, those adjustments. The key for Peña, he's so coachable. He's someone that listens. And I think it's eventually it's going to happen. I was actually talking to someone the other day, and they asked me, who's going to be that player that you pick is going to have like I could see who's like you pick to click. And for me is, you know, I told the person Jeremy Peña, because I think he's the next guy that I also see stepping up and being kind of the vocal leader in our club. You know, he's that guy that when we are doing our meetings and we're walking around the clubhouse, he wants to be the guy, say, you know, but he sees the Breckmans and he sees the other guys who's been there longer.
Jeremy Peña gonna be a leader today.
I mean, it makes sense. We know Altuve's never been like the vocal leader of the clubhouse.
Peña as the vocal leader is a weird one. I have a hard time believing that.
Because it's like, you think about like your options. It's hard to think that like Christian Walker or Isak Paredes would come in. Chaz and Jake are fringe even on the team at this point. So it's like you have like Yiner, Altuve, Peña, Alvarez. It seems like Altuve's really just never been like the main vocal leader for the Astros. It's always been someone else.
Not going to lie, I'm a little concerned hearing that Jeremy Peña is already being looked at as a leader. And I think that in that podcast, Joe, this is a question that was just being asked generally about Jeremy Peña.
Yeah, the question started with where he started with of like, are you good with where like his trajectory is? And you know, and he says there he thinks it's like his pick to click and like take the next step. But then he transitions into the leadership thing unprompted. So Joe Espada must feel very confident that Peña is going to be like a very vocal and important part of the Astros this year.
I did think he took some steps forward this past season because we were all expecting a lot from him after the 2022 playoff run that he had, and not so much. But I think this past season he was a lot more patient at the plate, which is good. And I think that goes back to something Joe Espada has been preaching a lot this offseason. These guys have to be less crazy with swinging at effing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that, like, it feels like that's going to change dramatically.
We're going back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
Fundamentals in the middle of February?
Yes. I'll tell you, there's a 35-minute podcast with Chandler and his co-host and Joe Espada, and the amount of times that, you know, they're not worthy to pull in cuts, but every time Joe kept talking about the little things, details, It came up a lot.
Well, you got to make a supercut of that.
I think I can do that.
Let's do that.
It just seems to be very much the priority of like getting back to that stuff. So clearly, like they thought it got away from them a little bit last year because he kept talking about spring training, just getting back to all that stuff, which makes sense because like they need it. And they're a good team, but there was a lot of times that offensively, defensively, they were very un-Astros like last year, and they went away from what worked so well for them to get them to this point, to always being good. So, but Jeremy Peña, vocal leader.
Jeremy Peña fielding a ball. Oh, the little things. It's a U2 song. Just came to my mind right now. Jeremy Peña as a leader is a little far-fetched to me. Maybe I'm crazy thinking that. It does seem like this one with Bregman is going to be tough to replace, and I get it. Hey, first 2 months of the year, he typically struggles. He's asking for a lot. The market is saying he's not worth it, but... To the Astros' credit, guys have stepped into that role before. This one just, it feels like at a certain point we're going to get to, this guy's got to be the leader, and it's not going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, because it has to be organic. Like, you can't just name it someone in baseball. It's so different. Like, you have to have someone that, like, but if you think about the role of where this team's at, you know, on defense in terms of, like, the infield, you lost Peña, you've lost Bregman, you've lost Maldi. Those are guys who, you know, when Fromber's having a mental breakdown on the mound, would typically try to calm him down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Walker probably will, you know, it would probably make the most sense for him, like with his reputation now as coming in three straight Gold Glove winner for the, you know, as an Astro now. Probably like
wins championships.
As an outside source, yeah.
Leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He could work.
More from Joe Espada. He talked about Christian Walker also. Isaac Paredes talked about how they fit into the offense and hinted at a change of a team approach.
We sign Walker and Paredes. I immediately go to, you know, their bat in our ballpark. It's made for Minute Maid, right? Their pull power, how hard they hit the ball in the air. I also like the fact that they see a ton of pitches. You know, they're not – early swingers, you know, they have a pretty good idea of what a quality at bat looks like. And, you know, in the beginning of our season, we kind of got away from that, and it took us a while to get going. But when we are a dynamic, elite offense, we beat you in different multiple ways, right? We can walk, we can hit for power, you know, we could, you know, grind our bats and we can get a base hit. I feel like we got down early in the year in the record, and we were trying to do too much, trying to get down in the game early in runs, and we were trying to do way too much, and we got away from our identity, who we are, what makes us great. But these two guys fit right in on our style, right?
It's kind of funny just hearing him talking about how this style going forward is going to stay away from swinging at everything when the guy who is the reason this dynasty is what it is more than anyone, Jose Altuve, literally swings at everything.
Yeah.
Do you think that they dial him back a little bit?
No.
You're probably not allowed to.
I think Altuve is always kind of the exception to the rule. I mean, the biggest problem is like if you can have one guy in the lineup who swings at the first pitch and gets out. You can't have three of them. You can't have three guys that see a total of five pitches, and your starter who just grinded through 30 pitches is now back on the mound within a minute and a half. Like that can't happen. That's why they have to change their approach, because you can't just – it's not going to work. We saw how it didn't work last year. So it makes sense they're going to change their approach. It's funny that he mentions Paredes in that way, because like that's what Bregman was so good at, of like working quality at bats. Obviously, John Singleton wasn't great at it last year, whoever was playing first. So,
hey,
Walker
Singleton,
just helped with it. But
Singleton had that one walk that he drew in game five of the ALCS against the Rangers.
You're right.
The Astros took a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, you're right. That one walk. But I bet you he had like five more. Over-under walks for John Singleton. 5.5. I bet you it's way over that.
How much is he going to play? Yeah.
This year, I don't know.
I honestly, hopefully, not much.
I actually don't think he'll be on the roster.
Yeah, I look at it the same way.
I mean, maybe, but like, if DeZenzo's going to be a first baseman still, in a way. Yiner can play first if you need him to. Victor Caratini could still, in theory, play first. He did it in the past. You probably don't need John Singleton. Christian Walker is going to be out there for, assuming he's healthy, probably 140 games this year. So I don't know where John Singleton like comes in, and I don't know if his bat is something that you want in like a late game situation. Maybe it is, but I don't see it. No offense to John.
He drew that walk in game five of the ALCS.
And that was Joe Espada who had him out there.
Oh, it was.
It's not Dusty.
Hey, well, but Dusty Baker's leadership and cool factor is the reason that the Astros were able to win the AL West that year. You know, people don't talk about that nearly enough, how they won the AL West the last game of the year because of the fearless leadership of Dusty Baker. Am I saying that because I'm wearing a Dusty Baker shirt?
Oh, you
are. It says, in Dusty, I trusty? Yes, I am. Should still be Dusty Baker, in my opinion. And Martin Maldonado should still be the Astros catcher.
I'm glad that one's not true.
And if you don't agree with me, you just don't know ball.
I don't know ball, then.
You don't know ball. They do
ball. I would be okay if it was still Dusty, but not Maldy.
Maldonado in center field. Who says no? Right?
Probably I know ball. Maldy's knees.
Well, my knees would last out there, and my knees aren't great. Maldonado can get out there, too.
I don't know if I believe that anymore, Paul.
What? Just because I'm limping around today?
You're limping football? Around like you got shot.
Yeah, that someone tried to truck stick me in the middle of the game yesterday, which is illegal. And I pulled his flag, and then I threw his flag as far as I possibly could. And then one of the guys on the other team said, "What was that for?" I was like, "You just tried to truck stick me. He's twice my size. What's going on here?"
You got to take him out next
didn't,
time.
No refs?
The refs didn't throw a flag. So that was me.
Oh, you do have refs.
That was me emulating the act of throwing a flag. I thought I was going to get flagged for that.
Yeah. I think Kelsey did, whatever, 5 years ago when he did that.
Oh, 100%. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glasses. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776. To call up the text, you can join us on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay there.
We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Things we've discussed today. First off, Houston, once again, a baseball town. Had a nice couple of weeks as a basketball town, had a nice couple of months as a football town, but guess what? It's a baseball town once again. We've been talking about the Astros' plans for 2025. Still nothing new on Alex Bregman. The latest, a smorgasbord of reports, he said, holding up sarcastic quotation marks while he said it, involving this from Bob Nightingale. The Cubs continue to talk to agent Scott Boras about Bregman, but there's no indication the Cubs would be willing to offer more than a 3-year contract to him. There's also no sign that Bregman would dramatically lower his asking price when he already has at least one 6-year offer on the table. The Tigers, Red Sox, and Astros have all made offers of at least 4 years to Bregman. No one's been willing to meet his asking price. Meanwhile, Buster Olney said this about the Astros and their chances to bring him back. Alex Bregman, who is likely to land with the Red Sox, Cubs, or Tigers. No Astros? Sources in the Astros organization are skeptical he'll return to Houston.
This whole thing is so strange. It feels like he's going to sign a short-term deal and turn down like a long-term contract with the Astros. And like, do you think Alex Bregman goes somewhere and like really like after a year goes back into free agency and then all of a sudden makes all this money he wanted? I don't see it. I don't know why he's not taking the Astros deal. This whole thing is strange to me. I don't get it. Scott Boras washed.
Yeah, you've been saying it.
Scott Boras gives bad advice, I think, is mostly the problem, though.
You know who doesn't give bad advice? You know who's never done anything wrong in her life?
Kayla Nicole.
That's wrong. It's Travis Kelce's ex, who cosplays as a reporter and honestly is stealing valor. No, I'm of course talking about the most famous person in the world, the one and only Taylor Swift. Guys, it's time for Taylor Swift Watch!
Taylor Swift Watch. Play, 2025.
Uh-oh.
This is a really devastating report from the Daily Mail. Taylor Swift getting booed during the Super Bowl broke Travis Kelce's heart. Now a pause. Once again, the headline, Taylor Swift getting booed at the Super Bowl broke Travis Kelce's heart. Does this source who spoke to the Daily Mail understand how broken hearts work? What a ridiculous thing to say.
I mean, he's just sad.
Travis Kelce has a brother who played for the Philadelphia Eagles. He knows that Philadelphians are Cretan savages. I would know I'm part Philadelphian by blood. That's who they are. His heart was broken because Taylor Swift got booed when she was on the Jumbotron. I'm sure Travis didn't give a flying F about what was happening to Taylor Swift in that game. He was pissed off that the Chiefs attempted a three-peat was done basically like 20 minutes in.
I mean, maybe that's why he played so terribly.
Yeah, he looked out of it the entire time.
Did look glum.
Taylor got booed and he just couldn't focus on the game.
More from this source. After Taylor being shut out for a Grammy and Travis losing the biggest game of the year, it just hasn't been a good week for them.
Bad times.
Are those equivalent? Is it equivalent to not get an award at an award show, which clearly seems to be full of crap, right? Beyonce winning Best Country Album.
Yeah.
Someone did a breakdown. I looked online of and I know everyone in Houston loves Beyonce, but someone did a breakdown. There's some songs on that album that are absolutely god-awful. She just has the fun song. This ain't Texas. This ain't Hold'em. You know, like that song. I don't think she should have won Best Country Album, but not winning a Grammy, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because it's a rigged award system, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we had guys like I know, like Eminem and others have just protested. It's like,
yeah,
don't invite us back anymore because they know it's a joke. So, no, I don't think Taylor's. She also has a lot of them.
Right.
And she can win one next year. Like you could just.
Well, Travis can win the Super Bowl next year.
Yes, but she could win it. She could win 10 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as she breaks up with Travis, she's going to win 3 more.
Just every album that comes out, she just picks up a Grammy.
I wonder, I believe in love, and I don't want to be heartless, especially seeing as Travis Kelce's heart was broken by Taylor Swift being booed at the Super Bowl. I don't want to be heartless, but, I mean, if they do break up, I bet Travis, he's going to be willing to fall on the sword for his former lady so that she can put out the album that soars her back up to the top to get that Grammy. I mean, but will Taylor get Travis back to the Super Bowl? I don't know.
I'm going
to
say no.
Will Travis make another Super Bowl? You're saying no?
Yeah, I think he's done.
Yeah, it's up in the air whether or not he'll retire. The report continues. Travis knows that even though this is not a happy ending to the season, having Taylor's love gives him so much joy.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's about love.
Who's the source? Like what could the source possibly be?
Donna Kelce, his mom?
It's probably that little hot blonde that's sitting to the left of Taylor Swift. Sup?
Paul says sup.
Sup? I'm a radio host with graying beard.
You hate Nick, Kayla Nicole, though, so like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's like, that is in your favor.
That's my icebreaker. It's like, hey, have you seen the amount of things I've posted to TikTok to pander to Swifties? Trump tweeted during the game. Or right after it was done. The only one that had a tougher night than the Kansas City Chiefs was Taylor Swift. She got booed out of the stadium. MAGA is very unforgiving.
Did he really tweet that?
He tweeted that out, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
By the way, T-Swift Watch continues, and now we're just talking about T-Swift's boyfriend, Travis Kelce. The suit that Travis Kelce wore to the Super Bowl, which made him look a lot, if you've never seen the movie, from Face Off. Nicolas Cage's Castor Troy, it kind of gave similar vibes. The suit that he wore to the Super Bowl, all 6'4" of him was designed for women.
Oh.
Wow. So do they just like supersize it?
I guess. Or unless this was, yeah, because it looked like it's a suit that's made for a 6'8" woman, if anything.
Yeah.
It's super baggy.
Yeah, they can like design it and then he just goes, put it in these dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Also, but strange. Unlike Patrick Mahomes, who did not wear the green suit upon leaving the Super Bowl that he wore into the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce left the Super Bowl wearing the same thing that he had been wearing before.
I like that.
Yeah, but guess who didn't walk out of the locker room with him? Taylor Swift. Mm. Someone tweeted out, she's not being a very good boyfriend by letting her girlfriend suffer with no comfort. That's not nice.
I mean, he went up to the suite.
That was basically like the person trying to go up to Jason Kelce and calling Travis, you know what? This person's doing the same thing. Yeah. That's not cool, dude. I believe in love, and I think that they're going to be stronger through this.
I hope so. I hope we don't ever have a breakup album.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope maybe, or unless, well, this might be the end of Taylor Swift watch if Travis Kelce retires. So if we want it to continue, she might need to move on to like an Eagles player. Find the next NFL guy.
Mm.
Latch on to.
We're getting a ring this offseason.
You think so?
I think this summer we are getting a ring.
All of us.
All of us Swifties.
All of us who are...
Travis Kelce will propose to every single one of us Swifties.
Can't wait.
It'll be the biggest day of Paul's life.
Every day.
We're all getting married to Travis Kelce.
But that's true. We all will. We'll all find the love that we've not been able to find. From the 713, someone asks, who's hotter, Kelce's ex or Taylor Swift? Kelce's ex is... what's her name?
I keep wanting to say Anna Nicole, Anna Nicole Smith.
Kayla Nicole.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say Anna Nicole.
How are you the number one hater and you don't remember her name?
I purposely try to forget her name. I just remember her as Travis Kelce's ex.
Fair.
So who's more attractive between the two? Well, I know who thinks that Kayla Nicole's hotter. CJ Gardner-Johnson posted on social media a picture of him pointing at Travis Kelce and then showing a picture of Kelce with Kayla Nicole, who does have a donk, and said, like, he should have stuck with the thicker girl. Do you know what this has led to? This has led to Swifties finding CJ Gardner-Johnson's mother's place of business and review bombing it in the same way that Rockets fans bomb Ayesha Curry's restaurant, her barbecue joint that she tried to launch here. That's Steph Curry's wife's name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of get Rockets fans.
Swifties are scary, man.
That's
why I'm pandering to them.
Yeah. I'm never going to say a bad thing about Taylor Swift again.
I think
so. She's hotter.
I think I would disagree with going after someone's choice of women and like being like, you picked the wrong woman after beating them in the Super Bowl. If anyone else did it other than CJ Gardner-Johnson, who...
Is a troll.
Is just a troll all the time. Like, he is so consistent with the trash talk that I'm like, you know what, dude? You can have this one.
Pretty crazy that this probably is the first time his mother's place of business has gone under the sword because of this stuff he's done.
Yes, and he's probably said so many things to so much scarier people than Swifties.
Saying Swift... Is it thick? Which is accurate. She's got nice legs.
Yeah, listen, we can't all have everything. Yeah.
Right, we can't all have everything. Some people have some things and some people don't.
She's got a voice.
She's got a great voice.
Exactly. She's millions of dollars more than...
Maybe billions.
Yeah.
Great, you know, like, and strong, powerful woman, but definitely not as thick. Not as much junk in the trunk.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, shout out to Kayla Nicole. She does have junk in the trunk. But she's not a sports broadcaster. Anyway, on that note, guys, that's Taylor Swift Watch 2025. You're welcome. We do it for the ratings. I know a lot of people are like, what is this, Paul? Nope, we're doing it for the ratings. Trust me. We got a system to win, okay? How do we keep the lights on? How do we keep beating the other stations in the ratings? That's what we do it. Talking about Taylor Swift and talking about the Cowboys.
And knowing who Stephon Diggs is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge help.
That's true, too. You know, you got to be able to tell people of the same skin color apart.
Because
guess what? I might not see color, but I do see all people.
You see them.
I'm a man of the world.
Yeah.
I see them.
See their essence.
I see everyone. Doesn't matter how rich, how poor.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't see color, but if there are colors, I see them all. And on that note, It's Kalani and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. He's Joe and Paul. Sean's behind the glass. Everything you missed over the weekend that we didn't get to over the last couple of days, we dive through it next. Stay put.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Everything that you might have missed over the weekend in sports. It was a busy one. We did have a Super Bowl. Rockets lost the game against the Dallas Mavericks. Anthony Davis, out for a month.
At least. It could be more. He might be out for the whole season.
It is really funny that it happened in the first game. I feel for Anthony Davis. It sucks that he constantly has to overcome injuries. But for it to happen the first day he plays after the Mavericks put together the worst trade that we've seen in the NBA, at least based on public opinion in quite some time, it's really funny because that's always been a problem with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I do feel he's the only person in this whole situation I really feel bad for. Plus, I guess the Mavs fans, but like Anthony Davis is getting so much hate and then so much celebration of this injury. It's not his fault.
There was a little bit of time last week where I'm like, guys, people are talking about him like he's Deshaun Nix getting traded. Like, like he is good. It's just it still doesn't make sense because he's not as good as Luka and also older and also could just miss a month every once in a while. You could just rush him back from injury a little quickly maybe to win over the fan base if you're the Mavericks. Bring him out a little bit before he's ready and then, he pulls a muscle in this first game back. Apparently he wasn't supposed to come back for the Lakers until after the All-Star break.
So they rushed it?
That's the belief.
So that, yeah, I mean, and I get why you do. Like, you rush it so it makes your fans feel less.
Stop picketing?
Yeah. But then he gets hurt.
Yeah, that's what happens when you rush guys back from injury.
They get hurt.
Anyone watch UFC 312 over the weekend?
No.
I did not either. I know that Sean Strickland fought Dricus Duplessis. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing
his
name.
I think it's Duplessis.
Well, Duplessis beat Sean Strickland. Strickland, I know because he talked trash to Tom Brady once, and I don't like that kind of thing. But Strickland, who is very outspoken, but clearly a bit of a badass, broke his nose in the middle of this fight, is bleeding all over the place, and actually reset his nose in place on his own like a crazy person.
I did see that.
Ow!
Yeah, that's a savage move to do. But you got to kind of do it.
What if he made it worse?
He probably did.
Yeah, he's not a doctor.
Right.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, it's a hard-o move. And if you're the guy who you're fighting against perhaps wasn't a UFC fighter, is like one of us, yeah, I think we would have crapped our pants. But I don't know. Let the doctor reset your nose, big dog.
I'm assuming like it re-broke, right? Like he reset it during the fight. Did it break again like the next time he got hit in the face? Or is it still...
I don't think the fight lasted much longer after that, but yeah. It just kept getting kicked in the face. But it was a right hand which caused the broken nose. He chased Strickland around the octagon. Strickland pawed and wiped his nose, pointed to the injury in his post-fight comments, and said it took him out of the bout a little bit. But it did take him out of resetting it his own.
He did lose on decision. So it went to the cards.
Yeah, it is. I'll give him credit for staying in there.
It wasn't that close, though, on the cards.
Hey, but he stayed in there.
Yeah.
Got to fight to the finish. We also learned that Joe Rogan didn't interview Kamala Harris. Why? We finally find the reason why. It's because he didn't want to miss a UFC fight. So the only day she wanted to do it, there was a UFC fight. It was featuring Max Holloway and Ilia Topuria.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to skip my job either. I know the Rogan podcast makes a lot more money than the UFC job, but that's a job that he used to work for free 99. He used to not get paid to do it.
He's obsessed with fighting.
Yeah, he's not going to leave that job for an interview with someone he doesn't really want to talk to.
I was going to say, like, all this is a lot of, like, he also just doesn't want to do this, so.
Yeah. I'm also, like, if I'm Joe Rogan, like, you can come on my show on my time. I'm not going to do it specifically when you want. Which Kamala's people like requested it during a UFC pay-per-view intentionally.
Oh, for sure.
So they could later on be like, well, We tried.
I would imagine that happened. Kevin Durant, who was blindsided by discussions of a trade, was also blindsided by this. Kendrick Perkins says that he was the leader of the Oklahoma City Thunder on ESPN on Friday. I love Perk. I really do. I know he's a local guy. Perk, you were not the leader of the Thunder when they went to the finals the first
time. He's out of his mind sometimes. He says stuff that's...
He's perfect for the speak for your pizza culture.
But even then, like, to say, like, you're the leader of a basketball team, it's one thing to just be, like, have, like, an obsessive, like, a crazy take, but to just, like, lie and just be like, yeah, I was the leader of that basketball team. And to think that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are not going to call you out on that is hilarious.
Especially because, like, we all know that Durant, like, isn't a leader. Like, everywhere he goes, that's, like, kind of the common denominator. That he's really there to put up shots, get some buckets, and then go home. Like, he's not rah-rah guy. But for, like, even him to be like, whoa, come on.
Right.
Kendrick Perkins.
Relax.
Although, Kendrick Perkins, when he came there...
He was a champion.
He had rings.
He did. No, just the one, because he got hurt.
Oh, they would have had the second ring if he didn't tear his ACL.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why the...
Oh, and the middle one, if... KG didn't get hurt.
That's totally true.
They never lost as a healthy group.
One of the Lakers rings, one of their many LA rings, their 12 LA rings to the Celtics, what's it now, 18? It has an asterisk because Kendrick Perkins got hurt. The other one has an asterisk because of the bubble. So they actually haven't won in 20 plus years. That's science, folks. Continuing through, in case you missed it, Kevin Durant said that the reports that the Suns' locker room was toxic from Ramona Shelburne was a load of malarkey.
I'm trying to tell people who are not around this game as much, is that it's easy to say our locker room is not connected when you come in there 45 minutes before and guys are in their game mode. We're not talking to each other. Four or five guys might be in the training room. A few guys might be in the weight room. It's not a welcoming environment right before the game. You know what I'm saying? And that's just part of getting ready to play. So I think it's unfair and lazy to categorize our team as toxic when you come in there for 5 minutes throughout 4 months. That's the only time you've been in our locker room. Then you can make a narrative. I don't think that's fair to us, but like I said, that's part of the game. It's part of the business we signed up for. Not fair in this game, but we got to deal with it and accept it.
Do you believe him or do you believe Shelburne's reporting?
Definitely Ramona Shelburne's reporting. They wanted to trade Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler. They did everything they possibly could to do it. And then they nearly traded Kevin Durant to Golden State. Now, I don't know if it's toxic between the players.
I think it's awkward more than toxic. Toxic is a weird word to describe it.
I think toxic with like the relationship with the front office and this ownership group.
Sure, that could be that.
It could be more towards that. Because I do think Ramona's report was more like the players don't like each other. Where... Yeah, it's awkward. Everyone thought they might be getting traded. A lot of players probably wanted Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably a lot of, like, Bradley Beal, like, hey, listen, we get it. We get why, but you're kind of the reason that we're effed right now, either by your no-trade clause or the fact that no one wants you. That's tough.
In case you missed it, continues. Ben Simmons is a Clipper.
Born to be a Clipper.
What a lineup. Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden. Who's stopping that trio?
If only they still had Paul George
to
not play as well.
Yeah, I was going to say general soreness is what's...
I listened to a podcast the other day, and I think I heard that Paul George has more podcast episodes than field goals over the last couple of years.
I think it's like more clips on his YouTube, like the shorts.
Well... Good job by whoever's putting the clips out.
I know. I think that's more of like, because it's like 500. Like, it is so many clips.
Damn.
They must be using that new AI.
What they have to be doing.
Yeah.
Or just, I guess,
they're just overworking their...
Some college kid just like grinding on shorts 24/7.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend. See what she was wearing at the Super Bowl over the weekend?
Yep.
She was wearing an Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champions t-shirt. That is ride or die stuff. I love it.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Are you allowed to flex that when she was in high school when that game happened?
Well, yeah, because the Falcons didn't hire Bill Belichick this offseason, and
last
that's
or this off.
This past offseason, yeah. And that's entirely why she wore it. I love it.
Okay.
Did Belichick ask her to wear it? Is the
that's
real
the
question.
Thing? Yeah. That's the
I
thing.
Don't think he did though. I don't think Belichick doesn't care about InstaFace or Snap book.
Lies. He does now.
And
he's all about recruiting.
I think she is loving the attention she's getting, and
I think I think that's the answer.
Yeah, and look, she's a Patriots fan, so she knows a thing or two. You know, she knows ball.
Also, wearing that in New Orleans, like people are just gonna give you high fives.
That's another great point. People like, in New Orleans hate the Falcons.
That is like probably the most like underrated. Intense rivalry.
By far, the most underrated NFL rivalry. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a great troll. The relationship's very funny to me still. I mean, like, I wonder like what her like role at North Carolina is going to be. Yep. Team mom?
Yeah. Just, you know, what everyone's wife, whatever coach's wife's
seal
role.
Well, like, Miss Terry's important to Alabama. Or she was.
Yeah, not everyone's Miss Terry, right?
But, like, are they going to try to make her like the Miss Terry of North Carolina?
I'll say they shouldn't. I'll say they shouldn't. Miss Terry got to be Miss Terry because her husband was also Nick Saban.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but like, her boyfriend is Bill Belichick.
Win something.
He's won a lot.
Without Tom Brady.
A lot of interviews at Radio Row over the weekend. Guess who was doing some of those Radio Row interviews? Doug Gottlieb.
Oh.
Doug Gottlieb in the midst of a first season running the show at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and hosting a Fox radio show. His team 2-22, he decided to go to Radio Row for a week to do some of the interviews there.
Not a week straight, right?
Not a week straight. It was when the team was off, but it is pretty ridiculous that he went there. That's I met Doug Gottlieb once at Radio Row, and I used to be a regular guest on his show. And then I asked him a question, like, why isn't Syracuse fired Jim Boeheim? And he got really annoyed that I asked the question, and that was the last time I was ever on a show.
Yeah, well, I think this guy right clearly thinks that. He knows a lot about basketball, and it's being proven to not go well for him.
It's tough to do both jobs, I will say.
You think?
I will say, yeah, it's
at least
tough
do him
to do
well.
Both. It's tough to do both. If you're Maybe he's do doing both, the radio show yeah. well, I don't know. But I doubt it feels like you're getting the worst of both worlds. You're definitely getting the worst of the basketball world. That's without a debate.
And like even like if the radio show slipped, like no one would really crush him for it. Well, like us awful announcing going to come after you.
Yeah, that's
oh,
pretty
no.
much it. Yeah. How many people are paying attention to Doug's show?
Yeah. But like basketball, like, we all see final scores. And he makes himself the topic of these press conferences.
Yeah. That's the other thing he does. He's not like exactly like, you know, shut up, blend in. This is a process. Like, yeah, this is going to be a long work, but I'm putting my head down. No, he's like kind of making himself the sideshow.
He's like preemptively demanding apologies.
Yeah.
And for like when they turn it around, which might never happen.
It'll never happen.
Well, the next coach, maybe.
Like, he called it a nothing burger, and then they're losing streaks at 19 games now.
That like, sounds bad.
You can't do that.
What's the record for most games lost in a row in college basketball from a program that's Division One, because they're Division One, right?
Yeah. They could theoretically make they can still make the tournament.
If they won the conference.
Yeah, tournament. They just had to get hot at the right time.
Doug Gottlieb will be just, so insufferable.
He'll just coach the entire tournament, which I assume would be one game, although maybe that's disrespectful. Just with both middle fingers up. Just stand on the sideline with both of them up.
And they would lose by 60 in the playing game.
Oh, Doug Gottlieb versus Kelvin Sampson.
That would be fun.
1 versus 16. Give it to me.
Gottlieb's credit card incident took place at Oklahoma State, not Oklahoma, right?
Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Notre Dame.
That happened at Notre Dame.
That's why he went to Oklahoma State.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. They don't take too kindly to that at Notre Dame. In case you missed it, that's everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Up next, we got a little garbage time before we get out of here. Do you want to just roll right through? Roll
Let's
on
do it.
Right through. Alrighty. Hey now. Give me that garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Tom Brady's a cat guy.
We learned that this weekend.
Very excited about this.
Yeah, it's good for you.
This is
another W in the Gallant column.
I didn't think I'd learn more new things about Tom Brady, and I'm not going to lie, I definitely felt a little bad about the fact that Tom Brady's watch costs more than my condo.
Yeah.
Bummed me out a little bit, but to see that Tom Brady, who has some sort of beautiful H-Town blue colored car.
I think it's a boat.
Is it a boat? It might be a boat. I don't know. There's pedals. I don't think there's pedals on boats. Could be wrong there. But in his car is a beautiful Bengal cat. And with the caption of, I mean, I can't, smiley face emoji. I think that Tom Brady's a cat dad. And this makes me love him so much more. I saw some people in Houston media who may or may not have allowed someone who didn't really look like Stephon Diggs on the air.
Okay.
Who also was like posting about, I don't know, how Paige Spearnet gave him a shout out saying like, it's not surprising that Tom Brady's a cat guy. And I would just say to you, sir, stay in your lane. You don't want the Brady's hive coming out after you, bro.
Now,
you don't want that.
Here's my only question.
Yeah.
How does this make you feel knowing that? Did he get the cat in response to his ex-wife having a baby with her yoga instructor? Because Giselle had a kid this last week. Mm. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady got a cat.
I don't know.
That makes me like, is Tom okay?
Tom is totally fine. They're the easiest pet to take care of.
That's true.
Dogs are great. Do not get me wrong. I love dogs.
Yeah, cats are
unless easy. They're chihuahuas, pugs, or bulldogs. Or French bulldogs.
Yeah, cats are a breed. Never imagine having a cat like this.
They're easy and they're funny. And if you have a good cat, I have a good cat, they're awesome. You can run into some crappy cats. There's no denying that.
It's true.
But let Paul Gallant, the cat whisperer, talk to them. A Houston dentist was caught huffing and driving with 107 canisters of laughing gas. Christopher Pedler. This is with a headline from ABC 13's website. A Houston dentist and university professor has been arrested once again. This time with more than 100 canisters of nitrous oxide. Pedler was huffing the gas while driving. Pedler has now been charged 3 times since October for possession of nitrous oxide. In 2 of those instances, he reportedly had over 100 canisters in his possession. He spent Sunday night in custody after being stopped in the Heights. He was speeding on West 19th Street. Oh, wow. So he was by the bars and refused to pull over. When he finally stopped half a mile later, the deputy discovered 107 canisters of nitrous oxide in the back seat of his vehicle. One was reportedly ice cold and attached to a Mack. So this isn't even whippets. This is just him inhaling gas from gas canisters in the back of a car. Last October, he had 112 gas canisters in his car. His first record involving nitrous oxide was in 2017, to which the Texas State Board of Dental Examiners issued a warning.
But, like, how much do these canisters cost? Are these... Like, I've got some, like, you know, leftover dip cans in my car that I need to get thrown in the trash. Are all, like, 106 of these nitrous cans trash? He just hasn't thrown them out yet?
I think so.
I can't imagine that you're, like, super on top of things if you're doing nitrous.
That's probably true.
I can't imagine you're Mr. Cleanliness.
You're just laughing.
Yeah, I think you're having too good of a time, too. Be like, oh, wow. These really piled up quick, huh?
It's crazy to have. I want to know how big these canisters are.
They had to be, like,
they have to be
this big max, right?
Well, like, they have, like
a foot, maybe?
Like, at 2 separate points, he's been arrested with 219 canisters in his car total. Like,
shout out to him.
Yeah. I mean, and they said the first one was 2017.
And he still has his license.
Mybookie.ag. What's the over under on how many canisters this guy has sniffed?
Promo code BET975. I mean,
10,000?
Some of them have to be used. They can't all, like, he's can't be replacing them with full cartridges every day.
I don't know if they're refillable.
Shout out to this guy. I mean, don't do laughing gas and drive. I'm impressed by his commitment.
And hopefully,
this
he's
three
not your
times
dentist.
He's been arrested for this, and he still has his license. And he's a professor.
Yeah, this must be like, they must be really lax compared to like medical boards.
Oh, clearly. Yeah, this is not, if dentists who want to be respected as doctors, this was not a good segment for you.
No, not great.
Not a good segment. My sister looks down on you. Sorry.
Well, did you send the story to your sister to get her thoughts?
No, but I might send it to my dentist and get her thoughts. Can I have some?
Yeah.
Not for driving.
How easy is it to get 100 canisters?
Yeah, that actually is a great question.
Seems very easy.
That's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul, and Sean is behind the glass. Big thanks to our texters, our Twitchers, our YouTubers and callers, and everyone else listening. For Sean Mapes and for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.